garden said, did God really say? And that serpent continues to question, did God really say that sinners would go to hell? Did God really say that other religions worship false gods? Does God really teach the sort of sexual morality that Christians teach? Now, we here believe that the Bible is God's word, but it is under attack. It's under attack from those outside the church and those from within the church. So just how confident are you in God's word? How do you deal with questions like these? Isn't the Bible full of contradictions? We live in a more enlightened age. The Bible was written in a sexist, racist, intolerant age. And it is so out of date. How useful is it anyway? How do you deal with questions like those? Today I'll look at three questions. Is God's word true? Is it useful? And what should we do about it? Well, is God's word true? Can we rely on it? Scripture is reliable because it is powerful. It is powerful to change people. Paul uses two terms in the passage we've just heard. The word is able to instruct you for salvation. And it is useful. It is useful for making us complete, equipped for every good work. So the word is able to save. There are many stories of people coming to faith through reading a Gideon's Bible or listening to a radio, Christian radio broadcast. And Isaiah tells us that God's word will accomplish the purpose for which he sent it. So that is, we don't need to justify God's word. It stands alone. We don't need to justify it, to improve on it, to apologise for it, as some do. Now, our task is simply to teach it, to preach it, and to trust the Spirit to do his work. But do we trust in the word? Sometimes we can put more trust in testimonies or stories or miracles or rousing music or the power of an emotive sermon rather than in God's word. But whoever we are speaking to, particularly in evangelism, we should always centre around the word. We should always focus and come back to the word because the word is powerful. For it is able to instruct you for salvation. The word is able to save. To bring someone face to face with God's word is to bring them face to face with God himself. So scripture is reliable because it is powerful. Scripture is also reliable because it is stamped with God's own authority. God inspired it. He puts his stamp of authority on it. Now the Pope puts his stamp of his authority on documents. It's called the imprimatur. And it states that these documents are free from error. Unfortunately, it's not always true. Sometimes the Pope's words have proven unreliable. But God's stamp of authority is always reliable. And just think what an incredible gift we have. A gift from the Creator of the universe to us. Scripture is reliable because it comes with God's own authority. And Scripture is reliable because it is true. It is inspired by God. It was created by God's Spirit. And just as God is true and reliable, so his word is true and reliable. We can have complete confidence in his word. Now the term inspired, Paul says all scripture is inspired by God, it actually means expired, that is, God breathed. So God's word is breathed out through human authors. That means the Bible always has two authors, divine and human. How does this work? Well, we can see how it works by looking at two common errors. The first error makes God the sole author. The second error makes humans the sole author. The first error has the writer acting merely as a human dictating machine. So the author is really not involved at all. And both the Mormons and the Muslims teach this. Their prophets, Joseph Smith and Muhammad, both taught that their holy books were delivered direct to them from angels. So in their view, God was the sole author. And the second error puts humans completely in control. On this view, the Bible is just a human work. So the authors might say they were inspired by God, just as a poet is inspired by a flower. The writer had some spiritual experience and then went away and wrote up his thoughts about it. So on this view, the Bible is merely a human work. And this is what is taught in all theological, liberal theological colleges. But it is not what the Bible teaches. Peter wrote, "No prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." So putting it together, that means that the individual styles of each writer do show up. So Peter's style is quite different from that of John. But the same Spirit is speaking through both of them. Men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So the human word is at the same time the divine word. That's why we can clearly hear the Spirit's voice through the Scriptures. Now, because the Spirit inspired each author, it means that the Scripture has unity. It speaks with one voice. Liberal theologians will try and set Paul against James, but no, they are both speaking the same things about salvation and godliness, but in their own styles, in their own words. Both are carried along by the same Spirit. Some claim that the Old Testament God is vengeful, the New Testament God is love, but no, the same God is revealed in both Testaments by the same Spirit. The Scripture has unity. Paul says all Scripture is inspired. That is both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now here's a strange thing. Can you believe it? I reckon there are some people in this church who only read the New Testament. Isn't that absurd? When Paul wrote this letter, most of the New Testament was yet to be written. So he was focusing on the Old Testament. We need to read the Old Testament. If you receive two cards from your grandkids, would you just read one card and ignore the other? No. Yet we have two parts of God's revelation, and so many Christians will only read one part and ignore the other. Yes, the Old Testament does need some effort sometimes, but it is worth it to hear God speaking to us. And we'll spend some time in the Old Testament after Easter. So we can rely completely on God's word, for it is powerful. It is stamped with God's authority, and it is true. So granted, it is reliable, but there's another problem. How useful is it? How useful is this book written at a time and place that is just so remote, so distant from our own age? Can we really expect much from it? For the answer to this, we need to ask why. Why was God's word written? Now, the manual that comes with a collated screw gun is written for a reason. It explains how to use the thing. Now, that might surprise you, but I can assure you it is true. I discovered this when I tried to load the thing and couldn't work out any way to do it. I thought of everything. Well, finally, I came up with the bright idea of reading the manual. Likewise, the Bible is written for a reason. What is it? Well, there are two that are clearly stated here by Paul. First, for salvation. The sacred writings are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, as I just mentioned, these sacred writings were mainly the Old Testament. So here's a shock. Do you know that the Old Testament is able to instruct us for salvation in Christ Jesus? Yes, people can come to faith in Christ Jesus through the Old Testament alone. Just about every phrase that describes Jesus comes from the Old Testament, and it's quite a list. Son of man, son of Adam, seed of Abraham, the last Adam, atoning sacrifice, shepherd, lamb, servant, Messiah, one greater than Jonah, than Solomon, priest in the order of Melchizedek, cornerstone, the stone rejected, the rock of offence, priest, prophet, redeemer, ransom, king of kings, judge, God, I am, holy one, temple, Sabbath Lord, light, morning star, wisdom of God, root of Jesse, lion of Judah, and many, many, many more. These all come from the Old Testament, but you won't understand them adequately without understanding the Old Testament. The Old Testament instructs us for salvation. God's word was written to save us. The second reason God's word was written is to make us complete and equipped for every good work, for godly living. Paul writes, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the servant of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So God's word makes us complete and equipped for every good work. It does this in four ways. It equips us by teaching. Now, we need to be taught because we're ignorant. All Christians should be into lifelong learning, for we can never exhaust our understanding of salvation or of how to live as God's people. We can never exhaust God's word, for it is unlike any other book. God's word is living. That means when we come to it, we should expect to come and find fresh insights. We should expect to find God speaking to us afresh. When did you last hear a new insight from God's word? If it was a long time ago, perhaps you need to ask yourself, am I coming to his word with the right attitude? Well, secondly, God's word equips us for correction. Now, I need correcting. Just ask my wife and daughters. For years, I was the only male in a house with four women, including Ruth Perkins' niece, who was boarding with us. I was very useful to them, for whenever they needed someone to blame, well, it was always the man. The man was always at fault. I sure needed a lot of correction. But sin is deceitful, so we all need correcting. I love hearing others preach here because they bring out things I miss. They show me my blind spots. If you don't see the need to be corrected by preaching, you must have a very high view of yourself. But every preacher has their blind spots. No preacher will always get it right. So it's very important that we have our Bibles open when we listen to someone preach. is your pastor teaching the word accurately? Or are they missing something? Are they missing the point? You may see things that I've missed. We need to lovingly correct one another when we get things wrong. We are dealing with God's word after all. It's important we handle it properly. And this is also one reason why we should never rely on just one or two Christian teachers, however good they are. Well, thirdly, God's word equips us for reproof. I sin, and I often fail to see it or deal with it. So I need reproof. And because all scripture is inspired, it means I can't just pick and choose the bits I like. So if I've got a problem with generosity and money, I need to hear and heed the commands and warnings about money. The same applies if I've got a problem with lust or anger or pride. The word reproves us. And finally, God's word equips us by training us in righteousness. Soldiers train so that things that don't come naturally to them, they will become reflex actions in the face of danger. Righteousness is not something that comes naturally to us, so we need to allow God's word to train us. So if my reflex is to swear at the driver who just cuts in front of me, then I need to train so that my reflex is to pray, Lord, give that driver your peace today. God's word can train me so that my reflex action is to care, to love, to pray, instead of reacting in anger or impatience or anxiety. So the scriptures are written for two reasons, for our salvation and being saved, for godly living. Before leaving this topic, it's worth making two comments. First of all, what is it that you won't find in scripture? Now notice what Paul leaves out. The Bible does not claim to tell us everything we might want to know about lots of things. On many things, it is silent. It doesn't tell us what will happen in Russia or in America. It won't help a young man decide whether they should marry Jill or Jenny. As far as I know, it says nothing about microbes or about the history of China. It is very selective. It is silent on many topics apart from its main subjects, salvation and godly living. On salvation, it says everything we need to know. In its pages, we have all that we need for salvation in Christ Jesus. So we might want to know how the Trinity works. But the Bible doesn't tell us how the Trinity works, just that it is. So yes, we can ask the questions, but we need to be a bit cautious and a bit humble in trying to press the Bible into other uses. And the second comment is what you won't find anywhere else. Did you know that the scripture is not just useful for these purposes, for salvation, for godly living? It is not just useful, but you won't find the answers to these questions anywhere else. Not in Plato, not in Steve Jobs, Dan Brown, Oprah Winfrey. They will not save. They will not equip you for godly living. There's no problem listening to them, reading them, of course, but not for the purpose of finding God in them. Here's another absurd thought, just bear with me. Did you know that there are probably some here who like to read books not based on the scriptures? Now, of course, it is great to read widely, to hear other people's views, but some people read these books in order to find God or to achieve a deeper spirituality. Can you believe it? Isn't it ridiculous? The scriptures are given by God so that we have everything we need to save us and to live for him. Yet many ignore this gift. They ignore this gift and turn to human works that can help us not one iota in coming to God and living for him. Only the scripture can do this. We have a word that is reliable and useful. What should we then do? Paul says, continue in it. As for you, continue in what you have learned. The false teachers were false to God's word. They changed it. But Timothy, the recipient of this letter, he's charged, don't change it, but continue in it. Literally, to remain or abide in the word. Like the tree in the psalm, it flourishes as it grows by the water, and so we flourish when we continue in the word. Are you spiritually dry? Then come back to the word and be refreshed. If you struggle to read it, it can be great to hear how others respond to the word and how they too struggle with it often. And that's why group Bible studies can be quite life-changing. If you're not in one, I'd really encourage you to look one up. God's word is powerful to save and to keep you in that salvation. It is powerful to make you complete, equipped for every good work. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the incredible gift of your word to us, your word that gives us all that we need to know of your salvation, and for living a useful life for you. Help us to continue in your word. Amen.